Just imagine with me for 1 second. Suppose you were an employee in the 1980s. Well, most of us wasn't even born yet, right? Maybe your mom and dad. A time when there were no cell phone, there were no internet, there are no computer even. 1980s, right? When you walk out of your office at exactly 5 o'clock on a beautiful Friday afternoon, what will you feel? You will feel relaxed because the whole week of work has done. You'll say bye to your coworker, and also you'll say bye for everyone, your boss even. There's no need and probably no way to bring your work back home at the time, right, in the 1980s. You say to yourself, wow, thank God it's Friday. Well, those were the good old days. Those were, we call, the old normal. But what about now? With the coming of all the digital technology, our work habits have changed quite a lot. And Friday also changed quite a lot too, right? Well, if you are fortunate, if getting off work on Friday really means getting off work, well, maybe you can still say TGIF, right? I don't know whether any of us have this privilege, but for too many of us, Friday blues, let me alliterate, right? Not Monday, but Friday blue might be the new norm now. When you walk out of the office on a Friday afternoon, whether it is sunny or rainy in Vancouver, it doesn't mean that your work is done. Your home, or maybe Starbucks, will be your second office over the weekend. And you know work have no end, never end, even over the weekend. So under this new normal, our thinking about work and about office has really changed a lot. And under this new normal, work, rest, and vacation has been redefined a lot as well. So let's take a look at some of the examples of this new normal. First example, work is endless, and rest become a bonus. I don't know whether you feel like that. Work is like running on a hamster wheel, just as what Pastor Wilbur have shared 2 weeks ago, if you remember. You only get a break when all your work is done. And if your work is not done, well, you simply cannot rest, which is quite true, right? And talking about 9 to 5, you know, in nowadays, this is only a myth, maybe. You say, well, 9 to 5, you know, there's no normal working hours anymore. You simply have to go on until the work is done. So that is the first new normal. Number two, the second new normal is that vacation is a reward of hard work. Only after a big project with many hours of overtime, you can then enjoy your annual vacation, which your spouse and maybe your kids has been waiting and waiting and waiting for. And before your vacation, you have to make extra effort to rearrange all your work. So make sure that no ball is dropped. And make sure everything will go fine, even you are not in the office. And finally, you board the flight Air Canada to Orlando. Wow, Disneyland is only a few hours away. And the vacation begins. However, back in your mind, you are still thinking about all the unfinished projects and all the deals which are not closed yet. Vacation, yes, but are you really resting? Are you really resting? Third new normal, vacation has become workation. After all the transit in Chicago, O'Hare, or in Toronto, your family finally arrived. Welcome to Orlando. Your wife is happy, your kids are excited, but how about you? With the development of all the technical communication, vacation nowadays only means that you are physically out of the office. Work still travel with you, whether you are in Orlando or Iceland or Shanghai. Work still travel with you. And according to our Urban Dictionary, vacation is the new word which describes working remotely while doing the touristy things. I'm sure you all have experienced, or you have been seeing people doing that, right? Bring their laptop on a beach in Florida, or, you know, just working anywhere you can imagine. And welcome to this new normal of rest, of work, and of vacation. But let's stop for 1 second. While we are still get used to this new normal, let's ask ourselves, is it really normal for our work to be endless? Is it normal for rest to be just a bonus? Should vacation become a reward only when all the work, all your project is done? And does vacation have to be reduced to vacation? I'm sure we all have been trained to work hard since kindergarten. We have all been trained to be productive. We have all trained to be busy, right? And we thought we know how to get rest and how to get relaxed. We thought we know. And perhaps, actually, we have climbed the wrong ladder. And we end up not receiving the rest we were needing. So, what is real rest? What is real rest? Does rest simply mean that you are doing less? Or does rest simply mean that you are doing nothing? And for the past 2 weeks, Pastor Wilbur has been helping us to explore different aspects about making room. On the first Sunday, he shared with us about making room for eternity. Last Sunday, we learned about making room for God's will. And today, we will learn about how we can make room for rest, especially in an age of high tech and high speed. How can we rest? So first, let's look into the Bible and see how the Bible actually teaches about rest. In the Old Testament, there is the story about Exodus, when the Israelites left Egypt and went all the way, took them 40 years, to the Promised Land. And among many teaching that God gave them during those 40 years, God called the people to develop a new rhythm about work and rest in their daily life. And in the fourth commandment out of the 10, God called the people to observe the Sabbath. And in the Hebrew language, Sabbath means that is to stop, to cease, and to rest. That's it, like a stop sign, right? And the command to observe the Sabbath appears actually twice in the Pentateuch, in the first five books of the Bible. First in Exodus 20, and then in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And let's take a look at both of the passage one by one. Exodus 20. In Exodus 20, I'm sure we have read it one way or the other, you know, in the Ten Commandments. God called them to learn about rest. In verse 8 of chapter 20, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work. Verse 11, for in six days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and make it holy. In Exodus 20, God reminded the people that there is actually a special rhythm of work and rest in life. 6 days you shall do all your work, but on the seventh day you shall not do any work. 6 days, all the work. 7 days, no work. You might wonder, oh, that's something, right? This passage also reminds us that this is the pattern God did in the creation story. After God took 6 days of creating the heaven and earth, he rested on the 7th day as well. And now God is inviting his people to be like him, to build a work rest rhythm in their own daily life. 6 days, all work, 7 days, no work. But think about that. For the Israelites, actually, for them, it's a new normal. Do you know why? Because for the Israelites, from generation after generation, they were actually were in Egypt. And you know what's their, what are they employed to do in Egypt? They are not self-employed. They are not even normal employer. They were slaves. We all know that, right? They were slaves in Egypt for years and years and years. And so let's take a look at the other passage about Sabbath in Deuteronomy chapter 5 to take a look for another aspect, you know, why they need to rest. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work." It's almost like a carbon copy, you know, of the other passage, right? But let's take a look at the next verse. Verse 15, there's a little new thing added here. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 5. "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So instead of just repeating, you know, what has been taught before, this passage provides another angle, another perspective about why they need to observe the Sabbath. In 5:15, we just read, "Remember, you were slaves in Egypt." Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. And why is this such an important reminder? It's because for the people who were raising up as slaves in Egypt, rest was indeed a foreign concept. Rest was indeed a foreign concept. Moses told the people, "Remember that you were one slave in Egypt." Yes, I'm sure they remember. At Egypt, rest actually is a luxury. At Egypt, rest is just for other people, for pharaohs, for the nobles, for the officials, but not for them. At Egypt, slaves don't rest. At Egypt, slaves cannot rest. At Egypt, slaves have no room for rest at all. For slaves, hard work, 24/7 almost, is everything. And that's the life of the slavery in Egypt. All work, no rest. But now, the old is gone. God's people have a new identity. And God's, as God's redeemed people, the Israelites are no longer in Egypt anymore. Just remember, they are not in Egypt anymore. They are, well, they're in the desert. It's not, might not be the better place, but at least remember, they are not in Egypt anymore. They are not Pharaoh's slaves anymore. After the Red Sea, you know, they are free. There's no need to revive what God has removed. There's no need to gather what God has smashed and scattered. And there's no need to place themselves in the yoke that God has already broken. They are free. So this Sabbath teaching reminds the people that God called us to live in freedom, a freedom God has already won for us, a freedom that God has already won for us. And in God's redemption plan for his people, however, rest actually is not a reward you earn after all your project is done. Rest is not a bonus for work well done. We don't rest because, oh well, we did all the good work. And instead, rest is a gift. Rest is a gift. Rest is part of the rhythm designed by God. Even though work seems never end, but God said, it's okay. God reminds us, 6 days you shall do all your work, and on the day seven, you simply rest. Just imagine, if you were one of the Israelites, all of your life, you have been working as a slave, 7 days a week. Can you imagine? No rest, no holiday, no Christmas, no whatever, no Passover. Nothing was there yet. But suddenly, you learn about that teaching, Sabbath, to cease, to stop, and to rest. You discover, wow, there is actually a new rhythm, a possibility in life about work and rest. 6 days, I can do all my work. And 7 days, I can rest. Wow. How would you feel, though, if you were one of the Israelites? For me, my first feeling would be, that's a good idea, definitely, right? Oh, from 7 days, I can rest for 1 day. But on a second thought, I might have other questions. I don't know whether you have that too. Doing all my work in 6 days only? Is it possible? Is it really possible? What do you think? Or what if I can't finish all my work at the end of the sixth day? What am I supposed to do? You might have this question too, right? Or if you are a super keener, you know, you would say, what? No work on the seventh day? So what am I supposed to do on that day? No work, you know? I don't know whether you're in this category. You'll be anxious if there's no work. When am I supposed to spend this 24 hours, you know, after 6 days? This is the teaching about Sabbath. And let's take a look at one more passage as go deeper about this teaching of Sabbath in Exodus 16 and see how the Israelites learn about Sabbath along their wilderness journey. This is a story about manna, about the food called manna. Exodus 16. This manna story happened in the second month, so at the beginning of the Exodus journey. And the people were kind of grumbling in the wilderness for one simple reason about food. So let's take a look at Exodus chapter 16, verse 3. Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots, maybe it's the dabino, right, or the hot pot, and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So you can feel that they have a problem here. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. But instead of going out and gather the manna 7 days a week, actually, there's a twist in verse 5. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. Twice. That reminds me that, have you tried that double filet-o-fish? You have that two filet patties? Yeah, maybe something like that, right? So you get two patties instead of one. So here they get two portions of manna instead of one on a Saturday. And in the latter part of Exodus 16, here's how the manna story was developed. On the sixth day, something special actually happened. Instead of one unit, the people gathered two units of the bread they were given, a double portion. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, tell them, in verse 23. So tomorrow, now they're on the sixth day, right? Tomorrow is a day of the solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil. So do all the cookings today. All that is left over, lay aside to be kept until the morning. Verse 24, so they laid aside till the morning as Moses commanded them. And to their surprise, it did not sting and there were no worms in it, because some people tried that before. They get a more portion in the regular day or after the morning, you know, all the food was turning bad. But on this special day, on the sixth day, when they do twice of the cooking, wow, the food actually still fresh the day after. So verse 25, Moses said, eat it today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. Verse 26, two more verses. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there won't be none. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Interesting, right? So this 6 plus 1 rhythm still goes on. In this man's story, we notice again the rhythm of work and rest. In the 10th commandment, God told the people, 6 days you shall do all your work, and the seventh day you shall rest. So here, in the story of manna, God told the people, 6 days you shall gather the manna, and on the seventh day, they will gather twice much bread. And they will do all the extra cooking, baking, and microwaving, maybe, and so that they will have enough food for the seventh day. And on the seventh day, there will be no manna, but they still survive because they have extra food from there, right? And the people are called to rest, simply rest on this seventh day. Just imagine again, if you were one of the Israelites, how would you feel? I would feel amazed. Wow, this is an interesting pattern. There's no timer, you know, I don't know how it works. But interestingly, for the first 5 days, regular dose of manna will came. I took it, I eat it, no more, no less. Day 6, double dose. And day 7, no manna. So 5 days regular, double dose, no manna. And the pattern repeat again, actually. It's not just for 1 week, but for many weeks. And as we all know that they ate manna until the end of the journey. So that means 40 years. Oh boy, I don't know whether you can survive eating manna for 40 years. I remember I took a bus tour with my brother way back when we were in high school. We took a 9 days bus tour, no flight, from Toronto all the way to Florida. Oh, that was a long bus ride. The bus ride was one thing, but eating is also another thing. I remember there was one day within 24 hours, me and my brother, well, we were poor students, right? So we ate McDonald's for 3 meals together. After that, you know, we were just dying, you know. You know, 3 meals, McDonald's. Have you tried that? Maybe you have tried that too, right? But for them, it's not 3 meals of manna, but 40 years. That was something. But on the other hand, this double dose of manna on the sixth day actually truly reflect God is a caring God. There's no need to worry because God will provide. So, what can we learn from this teaching of Sabbath, this new rhythm of work and rest? Sabbath rest is not just a mandate we try hard to obey. Sabbath rest is a special gift from God for you and I to embrace. Let me repeat. Sabbath rest is not just a mandate we try very hard by our own effort to obey. Sabbath rest is a special gift from God for you and I to embrace. Yes, Sabbath is a special gift from God. It reminds us that God will provide, even when the work is not done yet. It reminds us that God is in control. 7 days a week, not just on the weekdays or maybe Friday only. God is in control 7 days a week. And 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. On the seventh day, God said, you shall not do any work. And if we only stop when we have finished with all our work as human, I'm sure we will never stop because our work will never be completely done. Sabbath is the rest we take in the middle of our ongoing work, without apology, without guilt, and for no better reason that God told us we could. So this is the rest we take in the middle of our work. Sabbath is turning over to God all those things that we would otherwise attempt to hold tight with our own closed feet. Sabbath is letting go of all those parts of our identities and ability in which we are constantly tempted to find our security. Sabbath is to discover afresh who we are. We are His children. He is our good Father. He is our provider. He is our defender. He is our shield. Sabbath is a stop sign. It creates room for us to receive the real rest that we need. Sabbath rest. It's not just a mandate we try hard to obey. Sabbath rest is a special gift of God for us, for you, for me, to embrace. So in practical terms, how shall we make room for rest? Not in the desert, yeah, we know that. Not in Egypt, but how about in Vancouver, 2018? Sabbath call us here now to cultivate a rhythm of rest. And in order to cultivate this rhythm of rest, we need to be as intentional as we can, right? Sometimes there are too many distractions, as we all know. So let me suggest two directions about how we can start building this rhythm of rest. First, we learn to unplug, and then we learn to connect. First, about unplug. Needless to say that our generation has a much more challenging time to learn how to receive real rest compared to our last generation, simply because of one thing, internet, right? We're all afraid of the term FOMO. Yeah, make sure I pronounce it right. The fear of missing out. The uneasy feeling about missing out of what our peers, our friends, our family are doing. We check our social media over and over and over again so we don't feel left out. When we spend all the time staring at our Facebook or Instagram, it's actually our own life that we are missing out. So instead of FOMO, let's try JOMO, joy of missing out. When we unplug from the social media, we're enjoying what we are doing in the here and now, instead of checking out what every other people are doing. Let me share with you an experience. 2 weeks ago, I think it's 2 weeks, yeah, our family was on a camping trip with five other families near Seattle, west of Seattle. It was the first time our whole family had our family camping trip. Thank God the campsite was pretty nice. We have water supply. We have electricity. So as a good Asian family, guess what we brought? We brought our instant pot. We brought our electric heater overnight, right? You know, it was cold. And even we brought our air mattresses, you know, with all the electric pumps. You know, oh, this is a luxury camp. I don't know. You probably will laugh at us, you know. That was camping, come on. Can you believe that? You know, this is what we did. But there was one thing that was missing in that campsite. Guess what? Well, we have water, we have electricity, but the digital coverage was minimal. Oops. I even brought a SIM card, like a US SIM card. I tried, I can, browse, or I can. Oh, doesn't work there. So from Tuesday to Friday, we had an unexpected social media fast. Okay, we have food, lots of food, so not those kind of fast, but a social media fast. No text messages, no Facebook, no Instagram, no email. We start on a Tuesday, right? So on Wednesday, I was a little bit anxious too. Oh no, what happened? If there are important message I miss from my work, or too bad I can't check my Instagram, those kind of worries were still around. But later I told myself, it doesn't really matter, right? I'm in a family trip, a camping trip, let's enjoy it. So I always remember those 4 days, right? Probably out of, many years, this is probably the longest time, we didn't have any strong internet connection. So eventually, let me also encourage you. Let's forget about FOMO and enjoy the JOMO, the joy of missing out, Well, I understand that back in Vancouver, it is much more challenging, right, to do that. Even though you're not at home, you have Shaw open, you have TELUS mobility, hotspot, or whatever, Wi-Fi, even Richmond High, we have Shaw open too, right? So you won't miss a thing, at all. But let's be intentional about our screen time. Let's really try hard to cultivate a habit of unplugging. Well, I believe that is not easy. I'm sure every one of us will agree that. But first, I want you to ask yourself a few questions. When are you most likely to put out your phone and start scrolling? Where do you do it? And why? Ask yourself those questions first. Maybe it's in the morning, or maybe in the washroom, maybe on the bus, You have those patterns, right? So try to understand first. And then, my suggestion about unplug, the first step is that to start with the first 15 minutes of your day. Let me see. Yep, 15 minutes. This is not a real countdown clock, so it won't move, but 15 minutes. Think about the moment we wake up. I'm sure most of us, 90%, will rush to our cell phone and check, right? Update our Facebook or Instagram or whatever, But instead of dashing to the Facebook or the Instagram, let's spare this 15 minutes after you wake up. It sounds easy, right? 15 minutes out of, 24 hours easy, but I feel the tension too. I have been trying to practice it for the past while. Well, it works sometimes, but they're all the, temptation. Oh yeah, let's do it, But let me encourage you. If we want to learn rest, learn about Sabbath, this is the first step. Unplug the first 15 minutes of your day. Okay, so let's try it and see whether it works or not. And if you're ready, but you say, oh, that's easy for me, I give you another advanced level. How about that? Next slide. 3 hours. Whoa, that's longer, right? So how about blocking 3 hours? On a Saturday, I assume most of us, Saturday is probably your free time usually, as a time of unplug. It can be a Saturday morning, maybe 9 to 12, you probably woke up later than usual. And to minimize the distraction, you can even surrender your phone to someone you trust for this 3 hours. For sure, it take much more effort. I can feel that you say, wow, is it possible 3 hours without my phone? But this is the second level, right? So first, the 15 minutes of your day, and then maybe 3 hours of your week. By unplugging, it will become your starting point to build up a rhythm of work and rest. Work and rest, right? So 15 minutes a day, and then eventually 3 hours on Saturday. Anyone want to try? Let me know, you know, if it works next Sunday, right? Let me know. But you may say, well, after unplugging, what do I do? Do I just sit there, doing nothing? So let me suggest, actually, the second direction, from unplug to connect. Doing something that really replenishes you. This is the meaning to connect. Sabbath is a time for you to celebrate and also enjoy what God has already given you. A time to celebrate and enjoy what God already given you. And talking about connect, I would say you can try three different things. Sabbath is the time to connect with yourself. Sabbath is the time to connect with your loved ones. And also, Sabbath is the best time you can connect with God. First, connect with yourself. When you rest, let me encourage you to connect with yourself through journaling. And instead of using your smartphone to journal, I would suggest you purchase a good notebook. I'll show you mine. A good notebook and a good pen as well. Where's my pen? Yeah, I have a good pen too. As you journal, you will have the space to reflect as well as the opportunity to regain perspective in your life. But however, the writing, the journal is only the beginning. During moments of uncertainty, maybe your life is down or maybe you are facing some other challenges. For me, I will go back to my journal and reread some of the things I wrote before. And at many times, I find that God will actually bring me healing and comfort as I reread the journals. Let me share with you one of my experiences. When I first arrived in Vancouver back in 2014, it was actually only 4 years ago, my life was at a crossroad, lots of uncertainty, lots of unknown. And I still remember over the Victoria Day weekend, we have a leadership retreat at UBC. I have a chance to quiet down after the camp and reflect where my life is heading. Slowly but clearly, I received a very comforting message from God, and then I wrote it down on my journal. Let me just share with you what I wrote. God told me, I am with you in 1984 when you came to Canada. Well, I was grade 11 at the time. I am with you in 1986 when you entered university in London, Ontario. I am with you in 1989 when you met Shirley, my wife. I am with you at Markham Stouffville Hospital when Caleb was born. I am with you at the same maternity ward when Andrea and Chloe was born. And now, May 2014, the Lord reminds me, I am still with you at this uncharted journey. So cling to me, for I will be with you and your family every step of your new chapter in Vancouver. Yeah, that's actually what the Lord reminded me, and I wrote it down. Through journaling, you can make room to remember how God has been walking with you and your family in some toughest time in your life. And through remembering His work, we will receive new courage to walk the next mile. So, when you're resting, connect with yourself through journaling. Besides journaling, the second thing you can do, you can try when you rest, connect with your loved one. I'm sure that is, we all understand, but sometimes it's so hard to do. We are so busy. We have so many things, so urgent things to do, but sometimes we forgot the important things. And connect with our loved one, spending time with a loved one is probably one of the things we most neglected. So remember, when you rest, spend the time, maybe have a good meal with your loved one. But just remember, don't just share the food. The food is only part of it, but share your life, share your story, right? Don't look at your phone when you, you know, enjoy the special meal. Don't ruin that, you know. Connect heart to heart. Or you can find someone, maybe a mature Christian, that you can talk to him or her, and maybe through this conversation, you will gain wisdom, you will have new insight, you know, about your next mile of your life as well. So connect with people. This is another way that we can spend our time to rest. The third thing we can do is to connect with God. Besides connect with yourself and connect with people, rest can help us to connect, to make room with God. When you rest, it is definitely the best time. You can take a slow or meditative walk. I'm sure at Vancouver, at Richmond, there's so many spaces for us to do that. Or maybe you can choose to run. You say, what, really? Actually, it works. I have a friend, he likes running. He told me that actually running is actually one of his best moments. Get connected with God. He told me that sometimes God would even touch his emotion while he was running. And more than once, he shared with me that he even burst through tears when he ran. Well, for sure, you have to in that tune, you don't just run for running. But actually, walking, running, this space is actually that we can connect with God. And when we rest, let me just encourage you to focus on one thing. When we connect with God, you can discover or rediscover one thing, that we are beloved children of God. We are deeply loved by God. This is our source of identity. This is where we belong. So remember God. Remember His love. Remember how He has guided you. This is what we can spend time to. So at the end of the sermon, I would like you to lead you for a short prayer exercise. Are you ready? First, I would like to invite all of us to stand. And if you still have your cell phone, for the next 3 minutes, I would like you to put your phone down on the floor, the screen facing down. Okay, so this is just a 3 minute commitment. Don't worry, it won't be too long. So put your phone down. Now your hands are free, right? Okay, good. Now close your eyes. And with your hands, you can open it. Take a few deep breaths. That helps too. Take a few deep breaths. In the next moment, I'll be guiding you for a very simple prayer based on Psalm 46:10. The verse is like this: Be still and know that I am God. But I'll be reading it slowly and repeatedly in different ways. And in between, you can also continue taking deep breath as we meditate God's word. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know Be still Be Lord, thank you for blessing us with the gift of rest. Lord, take away our driftiness. Take away our hurriedness. Teach us to embrace and enjoy this gift of rest. with open hands, with open hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.